Hello, and welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way. That's right, we're back, baby.
Yeah, my name's Adam. Never left.
No, exactly, never. My name's Adam, and I shall be your guide into the unknown today, and with me is my co-host.
My name is actually, I've had it legally changed to The Doctor.
Mm-hmm. It was a lengthy process and your license looks very weird now, but yep.
Mm-hmm. They actually said that I shouldn't do it because I'll get called into aeroplanes when something goes wrong. And they'll look down the list and just see The Doctor. Oh, well, this is the person
we need. That's the one we need.
I'm a doctor of tinkering.
He's having a heart attack. I don't know what that means. Yep.
What? He can use his other heart. Doctor Who reference. It's good to be back.
It is, yes, all the randomness. It's been a nice little break for the two of us. Nothing interesting has happened in the slightest.
No.
I'm now a dad, which is crazy. I know, right? Who let me be a father? Like, crazy.
Did you have that moment that people talk about when they hand you the child and they're like, okay, you can go home now, and you're like, isn't someone going to check that I'm like...
Yeah, like they're just like, okay, you're good to check out. We took him out to the car and we're just like we've had months to prepare for this, and mentally we're just like, there's another human being we have to take care of now. It's crazy. And now, you know, all my survival plans have now been thrown into mayhem because I've got to take care of a little man. But gloriously, he's a fantastic little man and love him to bits. So
amazing.
So it's been fun. Nothing crazy's been happening at all, and we're back ready to record some more episodes.
The more you say that nothing crazy has been happening, the less I'm inclined to believe you.
Well, I mean, let's see, like some crazed billionaire isn't going on and, you know, a publicity rampage and buying out social media sites and things like that.
But billionaires being crazy? Yeah, that is, you're right. That is just normal.
You know, billionaires used to do things like, I don't know, fund concert halls and buy, you know, things for the arts. Nowadays, it's all self... I guess Bill Gates is pretty cool.
Anyway. Yeah, the vaccines and malaria and stuff. Yeah.
William Buffett does a whole bunch for charity.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, then you've got, you know, Jeff Bezos, who flies to space. Yeah. That's his contribution, I suppose. Yeah, and builds a mega yacht and then has to dismantle a heritage bridge or something to get it out of the bay. But
I want a mega yacht.
I know. I want a mega yacht.
When are the podcast sponsorships going to come through for us?
Still waiting. But, you know, this week's episode is sponsored by Skillshare. No.
I wish.
So we've got a lot to talk about today. So let's get on with it. I think that we should choose gaming as our first one.
Oh, I'm excited.
So am I. So, we have both been trying a new game recently. I have stepped away from like Activision Blizzard and...
Oh yeah, Hello Kitty Island Adventures. That's what we've been playing.
Honestly, that is a story right there. Like, it's in depth, the gameplay's amazing, and I could just spend hours running around exploring in the island. I have no idea. I've never played it. No, but we've been trying a new game that your brother actually recommended to us.
Yes. It's called No Man's Sky. A play on words with No Man's Land. It's what I was going to say. I forgot what the opposite of Sky was. But this is a fantastic game. The weird thing is, though, when it first came out, how did you first hear about this game? Think back. When was the first time? What was the context? What were people saying? Mm-hmm. Because I've got a funny story of how I first heard about the game.
So I was in EB Games, and for our international listeners, that's like a GameStop for us lowly Australians.
GameStop, except you can't make $1 billion off of the shares.
No, not even close. Anyway, so EB Games, and I was talking with the manager and going on, and he starts talking about this new game that's coming out, No Man's Sky, and it's so cool and, you know, all open-ended and all that type of stuff. And then it kind of died pretty quick from what I understand.
Mm.
But yeah, other than that, we I don't remember much. Why? What do you remember?
Okay, so the first thing I remember about it, I think I might have heard about it when it was raising funds and stuff, but the first I heard about it getting released was a Reddit post. And when it's something to do with some entertainment and it's on Reddit, you know you're in for a good time. The Reddit post was, guys, I just worked out, no matter how many hours you've played the game for No Man's Sky, you can request a refund. So it's like people with 200 hours played of this game, like they've invested all this time, they can request a refund. So why were people obsessed with getting a refund for this game, you ask? Well, when it first came out, you know how when you go to a movie and the more you think you're going to like it, the less you do. And if you don't think you like it, you end up loving it. The expectations for this game upon release were like the highest of any game in history. It was basically like you can fly spaceships around the known universe and there's billions of planets. Like everyone's expectations were so high. And then it came out and there was naturally a lot of glitches because it was like
a new game.
A new game, and it was doing things that had never been done before. It's like a very small indie studio. Well, I mean, there's smaller indie studios, but it wasn't like a big name or anything.
It wasn't a AAA developer at the time.
And so naturally there were problems and everyone's expectations were huge. The launch was not great. And so I think it's the most refunded game in Steam history. I might be wrong about that.
Did not know that.
Let's do it.
But it was a victim of its own publicity success, right? So like,
yes, that's right.
It was Sony that was in charge of like its publicity from memory. That could be wrong. Don't fact check me. But because they just publicized it to the nines, like all over the place. Like this is why like that manager in EB Games was telling me about it, because he was probably told to talk about it. So here it is here. So it's players are free to perform within an entirely procedurally generated open world universe, which includes, now this is crazy, 18 quintillion planets.
What? I didn't even know quintillion was a real number. I thought people made that up.
18 quintillion planets, folks. All right. It's hard to imagine a trillion, right? Quintillion.
Yeah. Have you been to that website where it gets you to scroll across how much a trillion is?
No.
I mean a million. That a billion, horrifying. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then that takes forever to scroll. If you got to a trillion and then a Okay, so no, when we'll never see them all.
No.
Because the thing about this game is another factor that a lot of people criticize it about, and we haven't even really talked about what's good about it yet. But
not yet.
Another criticism is it's multiplayer, but you never see other players. And the reason is because the universe is just astronomically
18
huge.
Quintrillion, folks. 18 quintrillion. The likelihood of you running into anybody is infinitesimal.
So as we segue into what we like about this game, we've played together. We've flown around planets together. How did we find each other in the universe?
You have the anomaly.
Dun, dun, dun.
So that's like the multiplayer interface, right? So you're, as a character, you can summon the anomaly, which is like a space station. Right?
It looks like the Death Star, actually.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, totally. It does. Yeah. So, you know, spherical thing, right? So you summon that into open space, as in space. You fly in and that's where you can see everybody. That's where you can talk to people.
You can select missions, go with them. You can teleport to other people's planets, even if it's like star system after star system away. So,
yep. It's like, I genuinely love this game. Like, they fix so many bugs and they've added so much stuff to it that it is like, it's just so much fun compared to what I usually play. Like, I don't generally dabble into the sci-fi games, but you know, you get a spaceship and you get to fly around the, you know, the galaxy and just explore these planets and do battle with sentinels and all that type of stuff. It's great fun. And you know, they've got that story, like they've got a like main storyline you can progress through and everything like that. And I kind of just forewent that and explored the galaxy. And I've got probably, you know, 16 quintillion planets to now explore instead of the 18.
Wow, 2 quintillion, that's a lot.
Yeah, just an hour's work.
when you've got as fast of a spaceship as you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have to admit, like, even... did it come out 2016, 2014?
2016, it 2016. Says. It was released worldwide for the PlayStation 4 and for Windows in August 2016. And then the Xbox One. Yeah, I'm coming for you, Microsoft.
Hey.
In July 2018.
Oh, okay, right. So that means it's now been 7 odd years.
Mm-hmm.
I had to admit the game still has some glitches because I was... you guys had started working on something, maybe a mission, or you were doing something on your planet. And I had just gone off quickly to do a couple of lines in my quest because I'm way behind on my quests and main story compared to you guys. And so then I decided, oh, I'm going to go to this planet. This is where I need to be next. And I arrive on this like mushroom toxic wasteland of a planet. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just fly. I think this is roughly where I need to be. And then I press E to land. And my spaceship, E makes you auto land.
Yep.
And my spaceship flies down, crashes into a giant mushroom, and proceeds to get stuck on the stem of the mushroom. I'm not on the floor, so the game won't let me exit the craft. But I'm still landing, so it won't let me make the craft take off. And so I'm just stuck there and the ship is like kind of like floating back and forth, stuck on this mushroom. And so I had to call my brother to come get his ship and he started like...
ramming you or shooting you or something?
He started shooting the mushroom in the ground and mining stuff. And then he started building a mound to like push me off the mushroom.
That's a good one.
And then that didn't work. Yeah, I think he ended up getting the ship out and started blasting me. I don't know. Maybe he rammed maybe you we were off just something. Thinking, oh, that's right, ramming. Yeah. Anyway... and so in the end, I just decided to log out because I had only done a little bit since I got stuck. And then I just proceeded to fly to the planet again and land, making sure to check that there were no mushrooms around.
You never want to go in a mushroom. But it's funny because like we, like when you start the game. Yeah,
Adam, before you move on, I discovered that there's a feature. If you press X and then scroll a few times, there's an emergency like teleport or something like that. So like if I had stuck. Had that, I would have been able to get unstuck.
Fair enough. But you start a character and you start on a planet, right? And you do like a little thing to get a ship ready and all that type of stuff. But, and then you kind of move on to another planet to like continue your storyline. So I started on that planet you're talking about, like the toxic fungal planet, as we called it, Coogee.
Coogee, because it's almost the same as Coogee, which is a suburb here in Perth.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, remarkably similar. But anyway.
Toxic wasteland. Poor people who live in Coogee.
But the, you know, so, and then I moved on to the next planet, which was like each planet has a classification, right? Like as in it's a toxic fungal mold, or it's a barren planet, or it's a forsaken planet. My planet I landed on was a paradise planet. It was gorgeous. John, what was the planet you were on?
Okay, so you got your paradise planet. I got the world's most, like it's a planet that was designed for you not to be able to survive there. It is just the resting temperature on the planet during the day is too hot for humans to survive. So you constantly have to be finding more and more sodium to replenish your survival kit. And then at least once per day, which is a few minutes in game time, there is a natural phenomenon, which we don't have on Earth, called a wall of flame that comes and like burns up everything. And so you have to like quickly find your way into shelter every once in a while. The flame's coming. So yeah, paradise planet versus wall of flame planet.
I had it easy. It was gorgeous.
Hence why Adam's way ahead of me in the game.
Yeah. And it's just, but your brothers are way ahead of me. But it's such a fun game. Like it's because it's kind of sandboxy. My favorite thing to do is go to like these empty planets or forsaken planets because the gravity is like you can just jetpack forever and it's great fun. And I get these things called whispering eggs, which then summon like a spawn of biological horrors. And then I just do battle with these biological horrors. It's great fun. It's my favorite thing to do.
Yes, it's terrifying. When you took me on a mission to... you both were doing a a mission from the anomaly, and it involved stealing these eggs. And I, at the time, did not have any weapons. So I was shooting them with my mining laser. And then they had started to come and team up on me. And I just bailed out. I like jumped in my spaceship and flew to a different planet to let you guys.
Just in case, you know, you don't want any of those biological horrors following you to the next planet.
Imagine one's like holding onto the wing. It's like rocket out of the atmosphere.
That's how it begins. That's how you spread the virus throughout the known galaxy, mate. Well done, well done. But I haven't finished the story yet, so I can't really comment on the how much it draws you in.
It's got some interesting commentary there, like the the Gek. It's a really early game spoiler, but the Gek, if you help them enough in the storyline, they're like, oh, go check out this ancient artifact. And then you go to this artifact and then you see what it has to say about their culture, and it's like, we will dominate all other life forms in the galaxy. And you're like, these guys seemed really friendly and now they are going to destroy us all.
Because I like, because I thought, oh, they're like friendly little guys. I'm totally going to befriend them. And like, I think I'm at 8 out of 9 with my standing with them now. Because I just keep giving them like their, like give the them totems. A gift and stuff like that. Yep. And I learn all their language.
Relics.
And now you tell me that they're some horrific tyrannical rulers. I'm just like, oh, great. Now I'm playing for the bad guys. But
never meet your heroes.
No, don't indeed. But yeah, so it's been a hot minute playing that. And so what would you give it out of 5?
Out of 5, I'm going to say a 4. It's way better than I thought. Yeah. I had heard all of the things about the Steam refunds and the game launch failures and all this kind of stuff. And I've just found it to be a complete blast. I have to say that it doesn't feel as polished as other games I've played, despite having been out for so long. But I think the reason why it feels a little bit like that is because there's so much in the game. Like there's so many different planets, there's so many different materials and upgrades and everything. There's so much depth to the game, and even the controls. Most games, you've got the mouse, W, A, S, and D. This has like Q, E, F, Z,
like C,
R, T. All the keyboard is being used. And so you really feel like, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but it feels more real inside the game because there's so many different things you could be doing at any given moment, whereas a lot of other games are a lot more focused. And so I think that makes it harder for them to make it a fully polished experience. But what it makes up for is in the sheer scale of the universe, the really tight gameplay loops that they have around gathering the materials and building things you need. Everything feels like a chore when you think about it. You're like, oh, I've got to collect this in order to build that thing in order to get this. But because it's so quick to find all these things, it's more invigorating than maybe some of the other survival games that are out there.
Yeah, I agree. Like I've played a lot of those survival games and I've got to say that the No Man's Sky is all like so much more fun because you're not bound to like one planet, one biome. Like everything just feels so much grander and it's just, yeah, it's phenomenal. Like, I agree with you. I'd give it a 4. I would give it a 5, but I haven't done the story yet.
Yeah, and I would say because we haven't seen much of the story and then also the glitches and multiplayer is a bit tricky. You keep getting booted out of our group and stuff.
I really do. Like, the game hates me because every time we leave to go anywhere, it's just like, oh, Adam's not a part of your group anymore. It's fine. Be like that.
But yeah, overall, I'd say really love it. And something that more survival games should do is they give you a rocket ship from the very first mission. You repair your rocket ship and you can fly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of other survival games, you're kind of stuck because you build your base where you spawn so that you can survive. And you just are stuck there. So what's the point of this open world infinite universe if you're never exploring it?
Yeah.
Whereas No Man's Sky is just like, you know what? We're going to give you a portal and a spaceship. So you can always get back to your base, but you can explore the universe.
Yep.
All right. 4 out of 5.
Top notch. Love it. 4 out of 5 all round. I would highly recommend it. Not sure if Steam has it on sale at the moment.
I think it just ended, but
unfortunately.
Add it to your wish list if you haven't already and pick it up next time it's on sale.
Yeah, agreed.
Would recommend.
Totally. So, John, there is a movie out that is right up your alley, I think.
Oh, yeah? So yeah, I've heard about this.
I know you've gone to see it, and I didn't because I wasn't invited. No, I'm kidding. But I...
I did invite you. No, I know you did. So it's right up my alley. We're talking about Barbie.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Okay.
And how did you find that? Did you think it was definitely your... No, we're talking about Oppenheimer. We're talking about destruction and science. But I haven't seen it. And every time I think of Oppenheimer, and I know I'm going to get judged for this.
Oh, no.
I don't think of the famous scientist who helped create, you know, what he created. Spoiler alert. But I think of a cat from Big Bang Theory that Sheldon called Oppenheimer. Dreadful. I know. Oh, don't judge me. But I know he's the scientist.
See, it's the same with me for there's a character in there that's sort of the doing the opposite. Well, working for a different country and then Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. Why am I saying characters? These are people that
are real people. Yeah.
Anyway, Heisenberg. But whenever I hear Heisenberg, I think of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, instantly. Yeah.
His code name when he's obviously...
Doing the bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the bad.
Where were we before we decided about
It's a
names?
Great movie. No.
Okay, so I have to preface my review of this movie to say that, and I've probably mentioned this before when we've talked about other movies like Dunkirk and Tenet, I am a huge Christopher Nolan fan. I think one of my brothers showed me Batman Begins, like on this dodgy DVD recorded back before streaming services existed. It was like you had to record onto a DVD what you wanted to watch.
John, you're showing our age here. Okay, you're showing our age.
Yeah, sorry. No, what I meant was I streamed it. No.
Yeah.
Of Batman Begins. Phenomenal movie. And funnily enough, had the same main actor. That was the actor of Scarecrow. If you most people remember. Most people remember.
Peaky Blinders.
He's in Peaky Blinders as well. Most people remember the second movie of that series, which is The Dark Knight with the Joker in it. Mm-hmm. But I actually am a big fan of the first one as well, like in addition to.
Right.
Anyway, so ever since then, I've been a huge fan of Nolan. When Inception came out, it became and still is my favorite movie of all time. So I have to preface that whenever I review Nolan to be like, I'm just excited that there's more frames of Nolan films. I've watched most of his films. And so
I remember you pretty much forced us all to watch. Oh, what was that? Forward
Tenet.
Tenant.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. That was good. I thought that was
good.
Sound
system up to maximum. And I just bought a new TV
literally
4K TV
just for this.
Just for Tenet.
Yeah.
So that's now you know how much I love Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one, I wasn't sure about it because I was like, I prefer it when he makes original stories rather than historical.
Mm.
I'm not as big of a biopic kind of fan, but. Then I remembered that I did watch Dunkirk and very much enjoyed it. And it was also a unique storytelling. So I decided to go see Oppenheimer without really watching too much of the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And whew, what can I say? It quite literally blew me away. Have you seen those memes where it's like the people just trying to have a nice night out watching Barbie and then the cinema next to them is just like this explosion comes
in. So that was one, like the only thing I can really talk about this movie is I saw an article where it was like the drop, the boom happens in some unfortunate places during the Barbie movie, the cinema next door that they can hear the... which I just thought was hilarious because you can imagine in the Barbie movie, which I haven't seen also, I do apologize, but I'm assuming it's meant to be happy and light and funny and then next door you can just hear the...
Mm-hmm. And that's right. And I think from now on, I think every movie creator and scheduler of when marketing releases and movies is going to have to think about this because... as another example, I went with my daughter to see the new Pixar Elementals, and next door, the Rise of the Beast Transformers was playing, and she was actually a bit unnerved by the loud thumping and explosions and stuff. So they do need to think about what's going to be playing next door. However, in this case,
that's a good point.
Definitely worked to both movies' favor, because you probably heard of this concept called Barbenheimer, which is where you watch one movie and then the other in a row. And Oppenheimer by itself is 3 hours. So that is a lot.
It's a marathon
of movie.
Did you do that? Did you watch Barbie as well?
So I was... No, okay. I didn't watch Barbie. I would have liked to do it just for the sake of the meme. But I just with the children, I'm also a father. So, you know,
yes,
getting to bed before, like I need to give myself 8 hours before the next morning kind of thing. Anyway, that's my excuse to why I didn't do it.
It's a good enough excuse now. You know, I'm all for, you know, sleep as a new parent. So, yeah.
Living excuse generators is what children are.
Perfect.
For why you don't have to do social engagement.
So, I'm assuming the climax... Let's actually talk about the film instead of everything around it.
Oh,
so
yes.
I'm assuming, like, the climax of the movie is... So, actually, you know what, John? Give us the breakdown of... in case any of our listeners don't actually know who Oppenheimer is, so why don't you tell us what the go is?
All right, so Oppenheimer is a, as depicted in the movie, so I haven't done a lot of research into what was really happened, but as depicted in the movie, the character Oppenheimer, based on the real human being, was a university student that later... sort of joined the program to create the world's first nuclear bomb.
Called?
So the project was called Project Manhattan, and it was in Los Alamos, which is a place in the middle of the desert. And weirdly, that also reminded me of Breaking Bad, Los Pollos Hermanos. But the, so the movie sort of follows his trajectory and what happens to him as a result of it. And so you were asking before what the climax of the movie is, and one would probably think that it's the bombs going off, and obviously we know about what the bombs were used for, but the movie actually never, I hope this isn't a spoiler, but it never shows the actual bombs being used in warfare.
Oh, okay. So it's like the testing phase and everything.
But it does depict... It's kind of hard to explain without seeing, but it does depict the devastation. So you do get a little bit of the experience, like just little moments here and there, but it never actually shows it happening for real. It just shows the test bomb going off, which is what you would have expected to sort of be the big headline moment of the film. But Nolan does an interesting thing, which is he shifts it and sticks it in the middle of the film. And then so the narrative, almost a little bit like Tenet, the narrative starts at the very end of the story and the very start of the story and works its way into the middle where the bomb goes off, and then it sort of swaps sides, and then you're seeing the end and the beginning continue. Anyway, non-linear storytelling aside, it really takes the characters that are central to the story and pits them against each other in a way that mirrors what we thought was going on, which is the Cold War between the USA and Russia. So the bombs were originally built for World War II. But then later, most of what happened with like the nuclear war games was, of course, happening during the Cold War, because it wasn't actually built until after the war had... essentially ended-ish. Like most people believed that it was going to end, and so they no longer needed such a big weapon. Where was I? Oh yeah, so the Cold War. So the characters are pitted against each other in a way that mirrors what we thought was going on during that time, which was the battle that existed in the minds of the US versus the minds of Russia.
Right.
But instead of focusing on geopolitical stuff, which is very high concept, it focuses on two characters that mirror it. And they talk about this idea of two scorpions that take each other out, because if they get close enough that each other can tails Sting. Can touch, the other one can, right? And so that's kind of the, what I found to be the major theme of the movie, is that what do we do to each other? At the end of the day, what have we gained if we've just taken the other person out and lost ourselves in the process?
Yep. So it's the scorpion and the fox. analogy.
Well, in this case, it was two scorpions.
Right. Okay. No. So, no, I can't ask you for a non-biased opinion.
Yeah, I'm very biased.
So I'll have to see it. And
300 out of 10. Actually, what's the atomic number of plutonium?
Oh, there you go. I'm sure someone just, someone, you know who I'm talking about, has just rattled it off.
94 out of 10 is what I'm going to give it.
Cool.
But probably my serious vote is 8 out of 10. I'd say that one thing that Nolan did not shy away from this time is dialogue. And unfortunately, the mixing of the dialogue makes it difficult to follow. So I think once I watch it with subtitles, I may upgrade it to a 9 out of 10.
Oh, wow. For
now.
Okay.
Now it's 8 out of 10.
Nice. I will have to go see it because I just imagine the sound of the bomb going off is going to send ripples through me.
Yeah, definitely. And again, like, be ready for your expectations to be subverted because not everything happens the way you expect it to.
They can't. It's not that I have low expectations of the film. It's that I have no expectations of the film.
The one could argue that the bomb going off is the quietest scene in the movie.
Okay, my expectations are now properly managed because me going in going, yes, I can't wait for this bomb to go off. Great. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that it? Okay, let me guess. It's shot from space or something.
Wow.
Oh, there you go.
No. You'll have to see it. You'll know what I mean after you watch it.
Okay, all right. All right, well, that's a date night then. Sweet, I like that. Cool.
When he says date night, what he means is with his wife, not with me.
Oh, no, I met with you. No, oh, yes, okay. With my wife, who also listens to this podcast while she's falling asleep. So I hope by this point she's asleep. No, I'm just...
Wake up! No, just... Sorry, Lauren. Sorry.
Brilliant. Anyway, moving on.
Someone was like just nodding off. Is that happening?
Sorry, folks, if you're sleeping, don't worry. I love you all. So we've done games, we've done movies, we've done scaring the crap out of people who were just falling asleep.
What's next?
Let's move on to survival. So as this podcast is surviving the apocalypse, parentheses the nerd's way in parentheses, we sometimes do like to actually talk about surviving some type of apocalypse.
Which sometimes.
Sometimes. Only sometimes. Most of the time it's just like, hey, let's talk about books and movies, which is also good. Mm. But anyway, so surviving the apocalypse. So what we do, I love survival stuff, right? I not only survival games, as we've talked about, but I love going out and, you know, going camping and living off the land, that type of stuff. I love the – I've got a – one of the new things I'm starting to do is Noongar, because we're in Western Australia, is I've got a book called Noongar Bushtucker, which talks about all the, like, you know, how the Noongar used to live off the land and all, like, the edible food that's all around us. So I'm starting that type of stuff, which is super fun. And so we're going to throw a little fun in here, which is we're going to check John's go bag. Now, for those of you unfamiliar, a go bag is like your emergency. We have to leave now. Like, we have seconds to get out of the house. And John has his here on his lap. Now, if you're watching live on stream...
Or on YouTube,
you can see nothing right now, which is not a good sight.
In a moment, you will be able to.
Yeah. So normally what I know about a go bag is that it is at least a backpack.
Yeah. So I've actually got a very small running backpack to be my go pack.
That's fine. Hey, let's see what's inside it. So I'm going to judge as the resident professional, apparently, of what we have in John's go bag. I wish I'd brought mine, but I don't think it'd fit in the room. No, I'm just kidding.
Your go pack is your house. The roof opens up and balloons come out and you just...
And then I fly off to my farmland. Mm-hmm. Okay, so John, what do we got? That's the first thing here.
So starting off with, we've got a Cliff Energy Bar.
Mm-hmm. A chocolate brownie flavor. Very nice. Okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Everything chocolate brownie.
Just check this. Hold on. Keep going. I'm just going to read the...
And then we've got a everyday meal replacement, which is just basically a meal replacement shake. And then look what we've got here, Adam.
Oh, like a Bic lighter?
You can tell I don't smoke because I didn't nail that first time. But yeah, lighter. Because I once was on the Reddit. I read a Reddit about like survival and stuff. And they were like, in all my years of being in the wilderness, the most reliable way of starting a fire I've ever found is a Bic.
Yeah, totally. And the good thing about it, right, is, you know, like as long as you've got the spark.
Yes.
And like if it's out of gas, you can still start a fire with it.
That's right, as long as you've got tinder.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my next item, which, and a lot of the, there's probably four or five items in this go bag which you've given to me. And this was a gift for my 30th birthday, which is a
box full of tinder.
Tinder and box. If you play RuneScape like I did slash still do.
Still do.
A tinder box is obviously very useful for the fire making skill, and that's because it is in real life. And then the next one is a hand pump torch.
Okay, that's very handy.
Sometimes you don't want to make smoke, it's too rainy, but you want to be able to see, so there's a hand pump torch.
So you can hear that, yeah.
That's pretty cool. If you're on the podcast. The next one is my survival knife, which also includes, again, this is a gift from Adam, also for my 30th. It contains a, I was gardening all day, so my grip strength is horrible, but I'm trying to take off the flint that comes with it. If you rub the flint onto the back of the knife, it will make sparks. And then if you do that onto sufficiently dry tinder, it will start a fire. Just don't get any sparks on the computer. I don't know if that warranty covers shattering sparks.
Yeah, let's not do that. Yeah.
Now, the next item is actually a life straw, which if you don't know, I think removes bacteria from the water supply, but not viruses, or the other way around. It doesn't make it perfect, but obviously in an emergency situation, you're going to want to have this rather than the straight water that is out of still water.
Correct, 100%.
And then some various attachments for it. If I have a water bottle, I can just use one of the other lids that comes with it and instructions of how to use that, and then a water bag if there is no water bottle at all, because I can drink out of that just fine, but I don't know, say there's a son, my son, or another even younger infant, they might not be able to suck with like enough sufficiently force. Out, so we would need to be able to use the bag to hold some water for them.
The bag, we'll get to that. Yep.
And then, yeah, I've since found another one where the bag literally fills up and it's shaped like a water bottle. So that's the one I want to get, but I didn't know about that. I got this when, when COVID first started reaching Australia, I was like, the world's ending. And I bought a life straw to put my mind at ease. It works.
Whoop. Okay. So weaponry flying around.
Swiss army knife, which a lot of people know about. Again, this was from you, Adam. A bunch of different tools on there. I do have another multi-tool, but it's a lot larger and I like to keep it around for fixing stuff in the house. So this one is dedicated for the go bag so that no matter what, it will come with me. And then lastly is I've got a bunch of paperware, which includes a Holy Bible just in case.
Yep.
A instructions on how to use the flint, and then you'll like this one, bush tucker guide.
That's good. Which yeah, I like think a pocket size one. That's
yeah, pocket size bush tucker guide. It shows you how to recognize the plant as well. So it's got pictures in it, and then it has an instruction of where to find it and how to eat it. This one, the tassel bush, you can find around Perth.
That's cool. That's nice.
So bush tucker guide. Blech, I can't speak. And then I think that's about it.
Okay, so...
Oh, hang on. Oh. Paracord.
Paracord, very handy.
And one last thing, which I completely forgot about. Oh, no. I've lost it.
Oh, no.
I keep feeling it as soon as I take my hands out. That's very strange.
That's the ghost of it.
That's very odd. I must have dropped it when we were in the wilderness somewhere, but I used to have a compass. It was very, very small, but it tells you where north, west, south, east. Oh, there it is.
No, there you go. You've got it.
I thought I was feeling it. Yeah. So
handy.
Very small. It just clips onto things and it can tell you which way is which.
Sweet.
If, you know, it's too cloudy or it's the night and you have forgotten whether the sun rises in the east or the west.
Okay, so with all this, right? All right, let's
what
go
am through. I missing?
Oh, a lot, but that's okay.
Oh, no.
But that's okay. All right, so
I'm in deep trouble.
This, like the Bush Tucker Handbook,
Yes.
Especially in Perth, because I'm assuming this is a local one. Very handy. That yes. will prolong your life.
Specifically for the Southwest.
For a good long while. That piece of cardboard, for those on YouTube or streaming, that can be used to help start a fire.
Yeah.
So very
it's
handy.
Instruction on how to start a fire, and it can also be used to start a fire.
Yeah. So, and also you have the Bible, which is handy as a fire starter. No. but like there's always empty pages, right? Like at the yes. beginning and end and everything. And I'm not speaking from experience, of course, but
in an emergency, it could save your life.
Like you don't need this front part, right? That paper there would be perfect for starting fire, like tinder. Boom. That would go straight away. So those are like the superfluous things, right?
Okay.
That bush tucker book, that's like grade A. You need that.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you think of the Cliff Energy bar?
Okay. You have here, in just raw supplies, you have a day's supply.
One day?
Yeah. Think about this, okay?
Hang on.
Like you can ration it, sure.
Okay.
But in a bug out situation, you are burning all your calories regardless. You are moving. You are getting away from wherever you are. Mm. Or like the traditional thing for a go bag is not just a go bag like to leave. It's a go bag to stay. Like they're emergency supplies.
Mm.
So like we don't really have this problem in Australia, like earthquakes, right?
But yes.
this is a day supply of food. Like without, like
oh, I see what you mean. You're not saying I'll only survive a day. You're saying the food would only last a day. Yeah,
you're not that you yeah. would only survive a day. Only I that agree. This food is only a day.
And really, considering I have a family of four, I'm not eating any of it.
Well, if you're wanting all this for the kids, and your paramour, whoops, I just dropped your paracord. Then this
you
is
you mean my partner, my wife?
Yes, your wife, paramour. I'm just more romantic. No, so paramour. It's a lovely little word. Okay. Yeah,
great.
This is half a day then.
Yes, that's right.
Okay,
so and really, what I think is, I'll just immediately go into a fasted state.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or you just come with me and we've got supplies for days.
Yeah, great. Right?
plus you've got stuff in your cupboard and things like that as well to take.
That you can grab, yeah.
So tinder, of course we have the tinder box, which is very handy. So good for starting a fire. But like you will need all that type of stuff.
Yes.
But with a Bic, that makes fire starting very, very easy. So like boom, you've got a fire, done.
Mm.
So very good. This hand torch, I was surprised by.
Yeah.
Right? Because I was like, oh, like, what use is the hand torch? But you'd be surprised because it comes down to morale.
Yeah.
So when you're in the dark, when all the lights are out, when there's nuclear war raining around you, this isn't going to be like your saving grace, but it will give you that little bit of comfort. Mm. So that's
you could even
handy.
Read a book.
Yeah.
You know,
and as you know,
to the
reading
people
is good.
Around.
You might need to lock that again. So very good with that. You know, I'm of two minds here, right? So the compass, it's good, but like, do you know how to navigate by a compass? Because
yeah.
I genuinely don't. Like, yeah, okay,
you
I
just
can go
point
north.
It, and then you're like, yep, okay, I'm gonna go west now yeah, until I reach the water.
That's true, I suppose. Yep, paracord, good for base building.
Mm.
So you know, very handy because you don't have to just use. This is a fun little bit, right? Paracord, for those of you who are not aware, is you don't have to just use the cord here. The cord here, sorry. What this is designed for is for you to unthread it. So that way...
Oh.
Yeah. So it's not just this amount. It's if you look closely at it, you can see that it's actually threaded with more.
Yeah.
So you unbind that and you can use that for however long you need it, essentially. So wow. Paracord, very useful.
I've got more paracord, but I don't have that in my go bag, so this is all I would have to survive with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the Swiss Army knife, there's a reason why this is given to like Boy Scouts and everything, and that is because it's a very good tool. Mm. Like it's not the best tool, like obviously you can get stuff out there, but for something just to keep in your go bag, you can also give it to like one of the little ones as well to be like, hey, you can help, and that gives them purpose type of stuff. It's a pretty safe item to use.
Yeah, in the movie I give this to my son and then we're separated and I eventually die. And then he's taken in by another person. He keeps it until he's like 40 years old and he still has it.
Yeah, except you're not going to die drunk.
Yeah, well, let's hope.
Then you have... So these are the two most valuable items, in my opinion.
Which ones?
Well, actually, that and the Noongar book about the bush tucker.
Yes, that's right.
So the life straw. So... For those of you who are unaware, Perth, WA, not super wet country, right? Mm. Not a lot of rain. Although that's, you know, like you're not going to find fresh water streams everywhere.
Yes, that's right.
So this is very handy. So you were talking about like all these attachments and you like how the life straw won't kill viruses. I think it gets rid of bacteria, doesn't kill viruses.
Yeah.
That's just from memory. So also you've got some paracord there as well.
Oh, yeah.
The bag, like using the bag attachment, then boiling it sanitizes the water
100%.
So that's what that's for. That, and you can never underestimate the usefulness of a knife. Like it can make weapons. It can, like, not just make weapons like this. It makes more weapons.
Yeah, you can sharpen a stick.
Separated. This also has a whistle.
The whistle on the knife, yes. Mm-hmm.
The fire starter, the knife sharpener. This is a very useful tool and I'm glad you have it in your go bag.
Hence why you gifted it to me so that I would have a chance of surviving until we're...
Fighting chance, yeah, until you can get to me who lives 5 minutes away.
Yeah, I have to fight my way through the zombies for five minutes.
I'm going to rate this on a scale of 10, okay?
Okay.
With this go bag...
And what are the scale here? Are we saying 0 is...
You will die in a day. Mm-hmm. And 10 is you are self-sufficient enough. You have the capacity to be self-sufficient.
Yeah. Okay.
Like my go bag isn't a 10 because that's...
You need a few more things.
I need a few more things. Like, for instance, I don't have a life straw, but I can make a filter out of stuff. It's not difficult. You know what? We'll get into that later. Tune in next episode and Adam teaches you how to make a filter out of natural material. But so out of 10, I'm going to give that go bag a 2.
It's okay. You can be... Oh, 2. Mm-hmm. 2, Adam.
Now, the reason being, right, you have... the bare basics to survive what you like to get where you need to get, like to get to me or to get to like far enough away from the from populated center, right?
The
main thing you want to
fall out zone.
Exactly. Right. So that's good. But what then? Like you have half a day supplies for everybody there.
Yep.
I'm not saying you need to carry a whole bunch of stuff, like a whole bunch of food, right? Because that's...
Next time we do a go bag walkthrough, it's just tin cans. How are you going to carry this?
Because that's the other thing you need to consider, right?
Weight,
because you can't... That's like water is such a horrible resource to transport.
Hence the life straw.
Exactly. So brilliant there. But the food, like it's just you could put more... food in there, like more efficient energy food sources. Why don't you, like you are a gardener. Why don't you have seeds in there?
Oh, for the after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you could always get, but there's no guarantee you'll get seed, like you'll have seeds where you end up. So, and because it's so lightweight, you can always just chuck that in there. Like you won't eat it straight away, but it'll give you purpose as well.
After you've been away for a week and you've set up a base somewhere. Yeah.
So I'd like to see proper energy food, like maybe a couple of MREs or rather just long-term survival rations. So
I'm just Googling.
So meal,
meal
ready
to eat.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of those in my bag. These type of things are like, and that's just for like John's looking at one right now. That would make one of those, for instance, and then not because they're dehydrated, of course. Well,
yeah. So when you add what, boiling water. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is great. I really want to. I don't know if we'll be able to do this until our sons are older, but mm-hmm. I really want to spend a few days out where we have to literally only survive off what's in our bags.
That would be good, except because we're in Western Australia, The only caveat to that is we'd need to bring water unless we get to a fresh stream, which is difficult to find.
Yeah, there's no point. Like, the life store is great, but we'd still be putting ourselves at risk.
Yeah.
So we could just bring water and simulate that we would be using the life straw.
Yeah.
If we were in a real emergency.
But I'd be totally fine with that, 100%. Yeah. And, you know, because then you've got, like, other things as well. Like, you've got that, like, I would have given you a one if you hadn't gotten that bush tucker book.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because that'll be my days after.
Yeah. And but see, the thing with that, it comes with practice, right, is learning to forage. But like, that's why I'm starting to do that type of stuff, is because I want that practice in identifying these plants. Because what if you make that mistake? Like, oh, yes, we can eat this berry. Okay, no, we can't. I'm pooping blood. So, you know, you need that. While we have medical emergency stuff, you have the potential to make those mistakes without horrific consequences. My one rule of foraging is stay away from fungus. Don't eat mushrooms.
Yeah.
Too easy to make a mistake, unless you're a professional, of course.
I heard that someone was a professional studying in all their lives and they were found dead from eating a mushroom because they misidentified it.
Don't eat a mushroom, folk. 100%.
So what it reminds me of is, in terms of importance, the rule of three, which was you can survive 3 minutes without air, 3 hours without shelter, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. Why I did the life straw, and then I added the food later on. Because you can survive quite a while without food.
Oh, you've
got a lot 100%. Of time to find it. Mm-hmm. Whereas water, I could imagine myself, if the facilities were shut down, not finding drinkable water for much more than 3 days.
Yeah, totally. And then you've got to think of the contaminants as well and everything.
The berries thing made me think of a TV show I watched recently called Beef, where they're stuck in the... at the very end, they're stuck in the desert near some rich person's house, and they've been forgotten. No one knows where they are. And they're like, oh, I've definitely seen this berry before. It's this kind of berry I eat all the time. And then they eat it, and then they start vomiting, and then they start seeing things and going a little bit crazy.
Oh, fun.
So even if you think it looks exactly like a food you've eaten, it could be poison. I mean, everyone's heard of deadly nightshade. Most of the food that you eat from the supermarket is in some way related to nightshade.
Here's a fun little thing, right? This will keep you away from mushrooms. Okay? I'm not talking about like the trippy type of mushrooms.
Psilocybin?
Yeah, psilocybin. No.
I called it silly instead of psilocybin.
It makes you silly.
Yeah.
I guess you're not wrong in that sense. But anyway. So kids, if there are any children listening, here's what I'll say, right? If you see mushrooms growing out of the ground, don't touch them.
Run.
Just stay away from them. Don't eat them. Don't do anything. But here's the fact for the adults to stay away. There is a mushroom out there called the Destroyer.
What?
Okay,
I need to look at this.
Mm-hmm. Bring it up. Have a look. Now, it is... There it is right there. I'm not going to even try it. Saying, now, you look at that. And you'd think, oh, okay, it's white, it's not red, anything like that. Like, I could eat that.
Yeah, it just looks like basically the same mushroom that you would eat from the supermarket.
This kills you. Like, not instantly, I should say, right? You ingest this, you are not surviving.
What if you immediately went to a hospital?
They'd probably, right? Immediately, yeah, okay, you'd probably survive, but with organ damage.
Oh, dude.
Like, it's not a pleasant... There's a reason why it's called the Destroyer.
Why does it make me instantly think about, like, just your organs coming out both ends?
Kind of. I mean, if you go back to, like, have a look at the Destroying Angel is its, like, little fun name. Okay. Fun name. So let's have a look at, like, symptoms here.
The death there we go. Cap.
Yes, the death cap. There it is. So...
Oh, account for the most... deaths due to mushroom poisoning.
Mm-hmm. Just having a toxin
which inhibits RNA.
So the symptoms include vomiting, cramps, delirium, convulsions, and diarrhea. In one study, people who had ingested the toxin were treated with fluid and electrolyte replacement and oral activated charcoal and penicillin.
Charcoal.
Combined
we still
with,
use charcoal.
Yeah.
After all these years.
Basically, they had to go through so many things and received a special diet. And that relieved some of the stuff by the looks of it. A play on case is effective in relieving patients with both moderate and severe poisoning. So, yeah. So that you can survive after... milk thistle can help stave off some of the stuff. But it's not a good thing to eat. Don't just stay away from mushrooms. That's my core of foraging, right? And John's just loving stuff. So I have also decided, John, I'm going to upgrade your go bag to a 3.
Ah.
Okay.
Because I
the
decided...
rule of 3.
Oh.
but not.
I thought it was because I decided I wouldn't eat any mushrooms.
No. I'm glad. But no.
That would have been a minus one.
You are right with the rule of 3 things. Mm. Like you can survive. But also with kids, crankiness, morality. The morale. Why I was stuck in a little moral and I just kept repeating in my head. The morale of your family and your group.
Yeah.
So, yeah, totally. But so 3, I think, is a good measure there. You've got a knife. You've got access to water. You've got information there to be able to help you get to more food. So, yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that one.
All right. So, Adam, I was going to talk about a novel I just read recently in the next segment. However, you started talking about mushrooms, and it reminded me of a TV show that I watched recently. And oh boy.
Okay.
I think that it's the perfect show for our podcast. There's a game that it's based off of, which you've heard of.
I have.
Called The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
And they've now released a TV show about it.
Starring our favorite actor, Pedro Pascal.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's favorite person who transports a smaller person.
Yeah. Everyone's favorite babysitter.
Yeah, I wish you could babysit my children as well.
That'd be good.
So, yes, this show, The Last of Us, if you haven't heard of it, basically the idea is it's a zombie apocalypse and this grizzled old man finds this.
No, go on. Sorry, clicker. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to close this window just quickly. Yeah, so there's some clicking zombies that cannot see, but they click to find you.
So
what Adam was... but yes, this... Have you ever played the game, Adam?
I have not, sadly.
It's on my list, but I think now I'd be too scared to play. So the idea... We've actually talked about this on the podcast before. I'm almost certain, but I don't believe... I can't remember what episode it was. It's not there. We've talked about this before, which is the fungus Cordyceps.
32, episode 32.
Really?
I have no idea. I'm just throwing out a random number.
Let's check. No, let's not do that.
No.
So you may be right. I feel like it was one of the early ones. So this is a real mushroom. So forgetting about the show for a second, this is a real fungus that exists in the real world that has been found to attach itself onto ants.
Oh, this mushroom. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes over the ant and slowly replaces its body from the inside out and controls it to do its will. This sounds like I'm making up, but this is real. This is not part of the show. They do talk about it in the show, but this is part of real life. Now, of course, we all believe that there's no way that it would actually genetically mutate enough that it could do this to humans.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's about evolution, right? So I remember I watched there was this little clip about this and it was a mushroom expert and talking about this particular thing.
Mm.
The human body can fight off most viruses, bacteria and stuff like that, right?
Mm.
Because viruses and things like that can't survive above a certain temperature, which is why human bodies get a fever.
Yes.
Yep. What's going on with the planet right now?
Oh, yeah.
Global warming. So what's going to happen to species that want to survive? They're going to adapt.
To survive.
And they're going to learn to survive in greater temperatures. Which is why it's a bit of a concern that mushrooms have the capacity to infect somebody not right now, of course. This is theory crafting, friends. But infect somebody and then take over that person's central nervous system and eat them from the inside out.
And they actually mentioned, now that you say that, they actually mentioned that in the show. That the rising temperature causes it to happen. One thing that's super interesting about this show is they decided to... Basically, the zombie apocalypse breaks out and then time jumps forward in time about 10, 20, 30 years?
Okay.
Oh, man, I can't remember. No, 20 years, yeah.
Right.
So the show, rather than them going, okay, the show's going to start in 2022 or whenever it was made, and then we'll time jump forward to 2042, they decided they'd go back in time and say that this zombie outbreak happened in 2003, and then we'll jump 20 years.
2032.
2023, which is today.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so can you believe that it's 2023? I can't.
No.
And so what's interesting about the show is that all the cars and stuff exist. They're all rat bag from 2003.
That's fun.
And no one knows what a smartphone is, et cetera, et cetera. All the music has to be from the past. Which I thought was creative, because normally when they do a time jump for a zombie apocalypse, they just choose, well, what if today went sour?
True. Yeah, yeah.
But in this case, they went backwards.
And it's a lot easier when you think about it from a production point of view, because they'd have like...
The those cars are that old exactly, in real life. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was brilliant.
Good
but note. Yeah, so the idea behind The Last of Us is this mushroom, you know, due to global warming, adapts and starts infecting humans. But what's unique about the show is obviously we've had The Walking Dead. Have you ever watched that show?
I have. I watched like the first maybe three seasons and then got bored with the repetitive storylines.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what they realize is that everyone's heard that story of the zombie and we all have to like shoot our loved ones and like how do we survive, and it sort of pushes that to the side. Instead, what it focuses on is the interactions between the characters and the unique things that they have to learn and go through as a result of the situation they're in. And they really put a lot of effort into it. Like the main character, Gil, who was born after the zombie apocalypse started, says things like, oh, what? Like, you guys used to fly around in these planes to go from country to country. You could go anywhere you like. And he's like, oh yeah, we didn't count ourselves lucky back then. It was just life. And then another good scene? Oh, he was like about to drive. They find a car and he's about to drive off to get to their next location. And he's like, all right, seatbelt on, like nothing. And she's like, seatbelt. Like, she's never had to sit in a car before because like all the cars are big junk heaps.
Potentially. Because I haven't seen the TV show, but like I know the premise.
Yes.
But it's just interesting that maybe that clip I saw was from the TV show, like with the mushrooms.
Yeah, maybe that was why, because it seemed very...
It did seem very specific. Familiar. Yeah. But like that's probably not... Like it takes millions of years for evolution to take place, of course. But, you know...
micro-adaption.
Who knows? It only takes one, right? What if one person gets infected with a mushroom that has elected to mutate ahead of its time and infect somebody, then that person then infects someone else, and then boom, you've got a pandemic of mushroom zombies.
So the two things I wanted to bring up about this show
were,
one is one of the characters in the show is a doomsday prepper.
Is that Nick Offerman?
Yeah, from
Parks and Rec. Of course it is. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So there's an entire episode which is about him, you know, hiding from the police before they evacuate the city. Mm-hmm. And then he just gets to live out his doomsday prepper dream. Which is... it's just brilliant because it's like doomsday preppers so rarely get to actually
100%
utilize and take advantage of the fact they took all this preparation.
What's that on? So what street in Australia at least? What's The Last of Us on?
It's on, you can get it on Binge or Foxtel.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. So I was house sitting and they had Foxtel. I've never had Foxtel in my life, but they had Foxtel.
So I won't either, Rupert Murdoch.
I've done Binge, but my goodness, the app is so glitchy. So recently my TV got a update. And so now it can run Binge instead of having to have the phone app because the phone app was shocking.
Ooh.
Anyway, they really need to up their game. But the second thing I also wanted to point out that was super interesting about this show has completely escaped me. Oh. So the end segment.
The end is, hey, Nick Offerman, a.k.a. Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation. I bet you that it is actually Ron Swanson, and he has just survived into the Last of Us universe. I bet they've merged the universes. Leslie Knope's probably out there somewhere as a clicker.
He plays the same character.
Of course he does. I've met him, did you know?
Leslie Knope is a clicker. Now I know why they say nope.
They run away.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay, so you remembered. Good.
Was a one, just one brilliant episode where, so the show starts and it's like, if you don't know the premise of the show, the reason he's trying to keep this girl safe and deliver her somewhere is because she is the only person in the history of time to be immune to the fungus. And they're like, how does this even work? Because you can't be immune to a fungus. It's not like it's a virus or something.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, they do have a rough guess of how it's working.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't know for the whole show of how she could possibly be immune.
And I'm assuming it's related to the game, like probably same reasons. Well, I'm not sure. Have you played the game?
The game? No, I haven't. I've never been a PlayStation person, but I would love to if I wasn't too scared. So maybe, I think it's a co-op. So maybe I can be the little girl and you can be, we should stream the whole thing. I'm the little girl. You're the guy that's trying to save me.
Joel. I know his name's Joel.
Joel and Ellie.
Yep.
So I'll be Ellie because I'll be scared in real life.
That's so funny. That's okay. For our fans that don't know, I'm terrified of space and I'm
scared of everything else.
And thalassophobia is my big one. So like planets and things like that. So No Man's Sky while in space is a literal horror story for
me. You're playing a horror game. Yeah. I'm just having fun.
But anyway, sorry.
Lasers.
But
no, there was a moment that definitely felt like a game because they're like, he's like, oh, there's this hole. Ellie, can you jump through this hole? And then he has to fight off bad guys and then she lets him in through the other side or whatever.
Oh.
And I'm like, yeah, that's taken out of the game because I bet
gotta be,
like,
surely
only the girl character can go through the small places. Anyway, the point I was making, she's immune to the virus and he's like, oh, how did you find out that you're immune? How did you first get bitten? Because otherwise they wouldn't know, right? And she's like, it's just an offhand comment. She's like, oh, I was with my friends and we were in a shopping center or a shopping mall, as they call it in America. And you just don't think about it. Many episodes pass, you just don't think about that at all. And then they decide out of nowhere to do a flashback episode.
Oh, okay.
And the episode's going along. And then she's like, oh, I'm going to go to the mall. And you're like, from that moment on, you're just so at 10 because you know that a zombie's going to come out somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The whole episode is like this cute episode.
Oh, so.
But you're just thinking the whole time, she's at a shopping mall. She's with a friend. Or, well, that's how she described it anyway.
Yeah.
So is
this back in when society was functioning? Like she went to the mall when it was functioning? Or had it already collapsed?
The character Ellie was born after the zombie. So they've gone to an old, quote unquote, abandoned shopping mall.
Okay.
And so that whole episode is very sweet. Mm-hmm. Like if you just watch that episode without having seen any of the show, you wouldn't be nearly as scared. But because I watched it after hearing that one throwaway line, I was on the edge of my seat and I'm like at this share house, it has this huge cinema room downstairs. It's like freezing. I'm in a blanket. It's like all dark because I don't know where any of the light switches are. I'm like wrapped up in this blanket and just like,
watching,
I don't know if
show.
I'm shivering from fear or from cold because there's no heater. That was the most intense episode.
Cinema viewing? No. Yeah, that's brilliant.
And yeah, after that, I took a couple of days break from watching this show before I finished.
Okay, I need to watch the show now just because it looks like you've got actual goosebumps from just talking about it, which means it's got to be good. And, you know, I've finished Mandalorian. I need to watch Pedro Pascal escort another magic child somewhere else. Yeah, okay, so that's interesting. So have you finished the series?
Yes.
Completely. Out of five?
Out of five, I'm going to say 3.5.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like the dialogue, I think the plot was well done. It's not the most in-depth, twisty plot that I normally like, but the plot was really well done, and every episode progresses, or if it's not progressing, it will tell a completely different story so that you're always paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
But just the literal dialogue itself, characters will say something, like ask a question, and then the other character will say yes, which, like, most shows, if someone asks a direct question, the character will make a statement instead that makes it evident what their answer is, which is much more interesting dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So just the dialogue wasn't very bitey, I found. And I reckon if it had good dialogue, it would have been a solid 4, 4.5.
Okay.
But it's 3.5 for me just because of the dialogue, the effects, cinematography, acting. And even the plot was pretty good. It's just, yeah, just the dialogue let it down.
So I've already said it's Pedro Pascal, but who plays Ellie? That's...
Deanna Mormont.
Thank you.
I don't know her actor's name.
It's something Ramsey, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Ella Ramsey? Something, but that like sounds that. Way too... Bella.
Bella Ramsey, yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So Leanna Mormont from... not Leanna. What's a...
Brianna Mormont?
No. What's...
Yeah, Leanna.
Leanna. Okay, Leanna Mormont from Game of Thrones. From Bear Island.
Yeah.
She's the one that just puts all the other older men in their place. Love it. Love it to bits.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing that makes it a 3.5 is I feel like they needed a consultant teenage girl to tweak the dialogue.
Oh, okay.
Because some of the things she says, I'm a bit like, nah, that I think that's...
Let's yeet, the writer. Yo. It's like me probably writing for a teenage girl.
Yeah.
Do kids yeet? Is that a thing? Yeah, yeet. Yeah, I yeeted that zombie into the next dimension. That's a teenage girl's dialogue, right? Yeah, all right, moving on. No.
But yeah, it was totally fine, but there were just a couple of moments where I was like, she wouldn't have said that. That's what an old person would think a young person would say in that situation.
Those millennials, they always like to talk like that. Look, I'm TikToking. Anyway. All right. We're going to go because I expect this is a longer episode, but we're going to rattle off a couple of suggestions for you folks. So we talked about some survival stuff today.
Yes.
And I wanted to give our fine listeners a chance to make use of the glorious internet that we have to help prepare them for the apocalypse.
What's the internet?
I know, right? Oh, yes, talking about Boomer.
The World Wide Web.
So I'd like to recommend to our fine listeners a couple of YouTube channels to just expand your... Because if you're just listening to us to survive for the apocalypse, hey, you'll have great pop culture knowledge, but you will die even a day.
Yeah, sorry. We're more of the nerd's way than surviving on this podcast.
But so I figured every now and then we'll just do a, hey, you should check out these YouTube channels because not only are they entertaining, but they'll also give you some useful skills and knowledge to navigate the perilous dimensions of doom. Sure, let's go with that. So, first one, John, would you like to... No, actually, I'll do one of mine first. So, I recently discovered this person. His name is Dan Santana, and his YouTube channel is called Dan Santana Bows. So, D-A-N-S-A-N-T-A-N-A. Bows, B-O-W-S. So his is all about bow making and woodwork. So like how to like properly age wood and things like that. And it's so low, not low energy. That's not the vibe I'm going for. Ha, vibe, see, I can talk like a Jersey.
low stimulus.
It's relaxing because you can just sit there, watch it. They're not over, like he's got a couple of long ones, of course. But he's just got like short type of, hey, I'm making this bow, you can watch me do it type of stuff. And then he'll fire a couple of shots and he talks about, you know, wood tension and how to correctly identify if you've carved a bow correctly. Like we've made a PVC pipe bow.
Yeah.
that was fun. This guy teaches you how to make it out of like proper wood.
That'd be much nicer.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the way he does it, obviously, you just think, yeah, I could do that. And you possibly could, but these type of things take practice. So
yes.
Try it. Just try it, honestly. Like, what's the worst that could happen? You make a bad bow, then try it again. You know, it's great. So, John, what's your YouTube recommendation?
I may have mentioned this channel on the podcast before, but I want to mention it again, which is Primitive Technology. So you may have seen, they go viral from time to time, these videos where someone, like maybe two guys, are like digging out a pool in the middle of the bush, and it like has filtered water and all this stuff, and like places to sit and a barbecue and stuff. But you know that they've had like excavation teams come out between the shots to make it look like they're achieving all this. Primitive Technology is the real version of that. He actually makes kilns, and he was able to
melt, get iron. I watched that one the other day, actually.
He was able to, yeah, he found a way to filter iron into a like a bunch of dust, and then using fire, this is all stuff that he's making out of clay, using a fire kiln with a proper, like, he has this spinning filter that works as billows, and he was able to forge an iron knife,
which is so cool,
out of dust from the river. It's just crazy. My daughter and I were on a trip once, and every morning with our breakfast, we just had the videos on in the background, and they're so relaxing. It's not overstimulating like a lot of content on YouTube. You're just watching him literally. He doesn't even explain. He never says a word. No. He just shows you by doing.
Yeah.
And you just watch him. And all he has is a pair of shorts. And I think he lives in Queensland. And he has a big property somewhere. And so he's just in the middle. He's finding old trees that have fallen down and turning them into stuff and making clay. And just, he's made old houses, and it looks like a filter / siphon came out a while ago, which I haven't watched yet.
Yeah, that looks cool. I like, definitely check this out, because like, even as like, it's just good entertainment. Like, it's whole, like, it's not provocative in any way, shape or form. You can sit down, watch this, and learn something from it. Like, it, and it's not, he's not trying to be educational, because it's not explaining anything. It's just good content.
You can learn from it, or you can enjoy it. Yeah. Or you can both. I found myself wanting to just go out into nature and just like build something, because
we need to do something like this, right? Yeah. Oh, goodness, I love it. Do you have another one, John?
I may do.
That's right. I'll do my next one. So we've probably talked about. That's the one I was going to do. Yeah. Okay. So this is our joint recommendation. So I discovered this guy a while ago, and it's the most relaxing YouTube channel I know of. The YouTube channel is called Scotty's Gone Walkabout, and it's just about this guy who goes wild camping, and it's kind of. It's not even about the camping, I think. It's about the scenery. He's real big into cinematography. So he's got like the big drones, and he's got like nice music over the top of it. And it just shows the beauty of the landscape. But he also gives some interesting and cool tips, like, and survival things. Like, he's like, hey, this type of stuff you can eat. And he picks out this plant and starts chewing it. And you're just like, oh, that's cool. And he has good recommendations for like camping gear and stuff like that. So highly recommend Scotty's Gone Walkabout. It's peaceful. Watch before bed and you'll have the best night's sleep of your life, guaranteed.
That's great.
And yeah, it's just, like I said, if you just want something relaxing, check it out. He's quite big on YouTube nowadays. So yeah, check it out. John, do you have another?
Yeah, there's another one called My Self-Reliance, which I think has been recommended before. But I don't know much about this one. I haven't watched it quite as much as Primitive Technology. But if you're looking on the lookout for even more channels, definitely check out My Self-Reliance.
All right, well, we'll check that one out and we'll get back to you guys. Oh, well, that was a good foray back into podcasting, John. We've had some good times there. Thank you all for joining us on this glorious return. And we, I don't know, we'll hope to be doing more and more frequently. I know we say that every time, but, you know, I actually enjoy John's company. So, you know.
Yeah, maybe we should do the opposite and say we won't have a podcast out for another year. Yep. So we'll see you in
this is the yearly podcast, 2024. We'll see you next year. But no, John, any passing remarks?
I have some survival gear that I'm trying to get rid of. So, you know, if someone makes a creative Twitter post or Instagram reel, the survival gear is all yours. It'll be a survival knife and a flint and steel, which are Adam's top recommendations from my packet. Not the one, not those ones.
I was about
ones.
To say, you're giving them the knife I gave you?
Because Adam gave me that knife, I no longer need my old knife and my old flint and steel. So
I don't know about that, mate. It's always good to have more knives. I've got many. Yes. But nonetheless, and we'll also give you this cello.
No, we're not.
No, no. anyway, so contact us at thenerdsway@gmail.com if you want to tell us we're fools. Or give us some recommendations. We'd be happy to review them, to be honest. John?
Yes, so facebook.com/thenerdsway. We no longer have to say the Twitter because that website is...
We'll talk about that next episode.
And that's actually a good thing because that Twitter, it's the only place I didn't have /thenerdsway. I didn't have that for Twitter. So now every service, just go to /thenerdsway and you'll find it. Yeah, definitely check us out on twitch.tv if you haven't already, because we are starting to stream each episode, so you can just comment things and
interact in real time when we
fact check
that.
Us if we're like, Oppenheimer invented the world's first electric car.
He totally did. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's probably
yeah.
true.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Oh, wait, Nikola Tesla did that. Obviously,
Tesla. Yeah, that's called Tesla for a reason. Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't even have Twitter anymore. Not for any political reasons. I got rid of Twitter long ago.
Well done.
And yeah, and join us on TikTok.
I don't think we are.
Yeah, we're going to do survival stuff now. Twick twock. Yep. We're going to start doing survival tips on TikTok.
We probably should.
That's
if
a good
we,
idea.
If we had our own marketing agency, but sadly we don't.
No, we don't. Anyway, thanks for joining us.
Oof, what a long episode.
Oh, great times. Yeah, I guess we'll see you next time.
Plenty more to talk about because we actually didn't even get through our full topic list.
No, we did not.
Some other things coming next. So
love it. Well, John, good seeing you again. And I love talking to all you fine people out there. Good night.